He is good. He is good. He is good. He is good. I want to jump right into the word. I'm not going to hold you long. In Psalms chapter, or the 27th number of Psalms, I want you to go to verse 13 and 14. I want to jump right in there. Psalms 27 is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I get encouragement there. I was speaking on Friday night, and it's really a little excerpt from Friday night, although I wasn't in this particular text. But the Lord has me on somewhat of an assignment of encouraging the saints. I can't seem to get back to the kingdom message right now. I've just been encouraging. So in Psalms 27, and I believe God wants us to be encouraged because the enemy is on an all-out assault to try to discourage us, to destroy us, to kill our faith, to kill our testimony. And we have to know that if God be for us, who can be against us? That God is yet on our side, and you cannot look at what you see to determine where God is taking you. You know, the Bible says the just man falls 7 times, but he rises back up again. So it doesn't matter how many mistakes we make. My God, I would have a whole laundry list up here if you let me pin out my mistakes. But thank God that I got back up. And that's all that matters at the end of the day. So in Psalms 27, look at verse 13 and 14. One of my favorites. Now, the King James said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen our heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, the New King James Version said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Look at somebody and say, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Man, 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 that just resonates in my spirit. As I was saying, on Friday night, I got the opportunity to minister the word at True Believers Ministries on that Friday. And I said to them, that every ministry and every believer has to go through what I call the in-between season. I shared that with them. The in-between season is when we are between revelation and manifestation. Somebody say amen. 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 It is when God gives us a rhema word, when he gives us a promise or a vision, but we have not seen it come to pass. And so we are living between revelation and manifestation. Every ministry, every believer, you have to go through that. And as for some of us, we are there right now. And days have begun to turn into weeks for some of us. And weeks have turned into months. And for some of us, months have turned into years. And it is becoming extremely challenging for you to hold on to the promise of God. I mean, at one point, you had a tight grip on what God said. You had a tight grip on that revelation. But right now, it seems like your grip is loosening up. And your footing was secure and it was stable. And right now, it seems like your footing isn't as sure as it was before. And God sent me to tell you that he told me to tell you this. Don't give up now. You're on the brink of manifestation. Now, that's probably resonating with somebody right now that, and although we don't like to say that we, you know, we're on the brink of giving up and we don't like to share that kind of testimony, but sometimes we just got to be transparent and real and true and just tell the truth that I have been at a point where, and I haven't shared it, but it has been in my heart that I just felt like giving up. I felt like just throwing in the towel and turning. It is not that I didn't love God. It is not that I wanted to backslide. I'm just tired of being in this place. Amen. Now, if I'm talking to anybody, can you just talk back to me? It doesn't mean I'm flipping out, I've lost my mind, but I sure wish that this would change. And I told them on Friday night, every believer has to realize that you are going to find yourself in the in-between season. I'm hung between revelation and manifestation. I know what God said. I got some revelation from God. I didn't have no collard green dream. It was God speaking to me. I got the revelation. But I'm living between revelation and manifestation. And I'm wondering, God, when is this going to happen? And a week has turned into a month, and a month has turned into a year, and I keep hearing this word, but I want to know when. And see, when you start allowing your mind to just entertain all of that, it's going to weaken your resolve in terms of your faith. And pretty soon, you're going to feel like giving up. And the enemy will start whispering in your ear, did God really say that? Do you really think that that's what he was saying to you? Because if it was, why does it look totally different than what he said was going to happen in your life? And for the people that know that I'm being real, my word to you is God said, don't give up now. You are on the brink of manifestation. Now here's what I want to tell you. Because, you know, I'm not somebody trying to prophesy to you. I'm not telling you that manifestation is going to come tomorrow. I'm not telling you that in the next 24 hours you're going to see manifestation, or next week or next month or next year. I don't know when manifestation is going to happen. But what I do know, God said, don't give up now. You are closer than what you think.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
So you're right between revelation and manifestation. And you don't realize you are closer to manifestation than you realize right now. So you got to hold on. Look at your neighbor and say, hold on. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Come on, tap somebody else and say, hold on. Because last week I said God's got your back. See, God is encouraging. You know why God's coming back with these encouraging words? Because he doesn't want you to give up. He knows you're between revelation and manifestation, but the reason why he has you there is he's working out some things in your life. And you don't realize what's on the inside of you. But God is too wise to give you manifestation until he has perfected you. That's why then you will be able to say, after I have been tried, I'm coming forth as pure gold. I do not look like the place that God wants me to look like. But when God finished chipping on my character and getting rid of some of those character flaws in my life, I'm going to begin to look like what God wants me to look like. See, while you're in the in-between of revelation and manifestation, God is getting all that cussing out of you. Oh, I know we don't have no cussers in here, so I'm talking to the wrong people. Let me talk to the lights. God's getting all that cussing out of you, lights. Come on. He's working all of that bad attitude out of you. Yeah, he's working those addictions out of you. You need one pill to wake you up and one pill to put you to sleep. But God's going to reach, you're going to reach a point in God where you're going to be able to go to sleep with some peace. I'm between revelation and manifestations, and I am on the brink of manifestation. The brink, the word brink means on the verge of. I'm at a crucial point in my life. I'm on the brink. I'm right on the verge of God doing something that he promised me. He says, and the manifestations. You are on the brink of manifestation. You know what manifestations mean. It means to make something known or reveal. It means something that is tangible now. It is the untangible becoming tangible. It is coming from the spirit realm and now bringing it into the natural realm. And God says, that revelation that I gave you in the spirit realm, I am about ready to bring it into the natural realm. But if you give up, you are going to miss what I already told you I was going to do. Because I already told him on Friday, I say, when God has given you a word or a promise, that's a done deal. It's already done. What did God say in Psalms 119 and 89? He said, forever, O Lord, my word is what? It's settled. It's settled. You know what that means? It means that it has been established. It cannot be changed. It cannot be revoked. When God has spoken out of his mouth, it must come to pass. And you're on the brink of a miracle. You're on the brink of that manifestation that whatever God has promised, it must come to pass. And this is what this text is about. When we encounter this text, you think you're the only one that is living between revelation and manifestation. You think you're the only one that are going through something. When David penned this text, and scholars and theologians agree that they believe that it was during the time when David was fleeing and running for his life because he was being hunted by King Saul and his army. Why? Because he was anointed to be the next king. So David penned this in a very, very difficult and challenging time in his life. Imagine now, you didn't ask for this problem. You didn't ask God to give you this revelation. You didn't ask God to give you this promise. You didn't ask God to give you this vision, but he did. And as soon as he did that, it seemed like all hell broke out. So David has this anointing on his life. He's anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel. Now, he's got the revelation, but he hasn't seen the manifestation. So David is living between revelation and manifestation. And all of a sudden, all hell breaks out in his life. And he's in a difficult season. Imagine having to hide in caves and run for your life. And everywhere you go, somebody else tells where your hiding place is. Can I put it in our terms? You fix one thing and all of a sudden you turn around and something else breaks out. And you got one problem to resolve and then all of a sudden you look around and there's three other problems you've got to resolve. And you're wondering, God, when is it going to stop? He's in a very difficult time. Challenging season in his life. His life is hanging in the balance. Who can I trust? Who can I depend on? And David pens these words in the text. He said, I had fainted. New King James, I had given up. I was going to throw in my hands. I was close to doing it. One more thing happened on my job and I'm through. I know what you said, God, but I can't take this no more. I don't want to go to the school anymore and talk about my kids. I'm tired. This is the second time I've been laid off, God, and you said you're my supplier. You'll meet all of my needs. I'm tired, God. Is it worth serving you? I had fainted. See, these are the kind of conversations we have behind closed doors. We don't talk like that in front of the saints, you know, because we stand up and we testify, you know, giving honor to the Lord, the pastor, all of the elders and the saints of the Most High God. God has just been so good to me. That's what you say in church. But I want to know what you say behind closed doors. When all hell is breaking out, are you still testifying like that? Are you saying, God, I am so tired. I'm so weary. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. When is it going to work? God, do something. And some of you have got the audacity to be upset with God. And David had reached a point. He said, I had fainted. I was ready to give up. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. I want to give you a point. You will never see the manifestations until you believe what God said. You will never see the manifestation until you believe what God said. Let me get that in your spirit. You will never see the manifestations until you believe what God said. Not me, what you believe. Because everybody's got to believe for themselves. And what God has promised me, he didn't promise you. But if you want to see your promise, you have to believe what God said. And David said, I was anointed. I was living in the in-between of revelation and manifestation. But I had fainted. David said, I had a word on my life. I had an anointing on my life. That wasn't the case. I got tired of what I was going through. And I was ready to give up. Can I put it like this? He said he had a moment. Anybody ever had a moment? Oh, maybe I'm talking to the wrong. Has anybody ever had a moment? You know, when you just said, God, I don't even know if this is all worth it. I've been saved for 15 years, God, and I've never had to go through this. God, if you said you really love me, then God, why am I dealing with this? What did I do wrong, God? I came to church. I've been worshiping. I've been paying my tithes. I've been supporting the ministry. God, I've been taking stuff that, you know, people been saying things about me. I didn't cuss at them. I didn't talk about them. I've been praying for people. And hey, have you ever had a moment where you just gave God a whole list of things? Almost like, God, I dare you allow this to happen to me. Look how well I've been living. Oh, I can't talk to nobody right now. God, how sanctified I've been living, God. Look at me, God. I don't do anything wrong. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't chew like others do. And God, you had a moment. Look at the neighbor and say, have you ever had a moment? They ain't got to, don't answer back. Don't answer back. Because you know saints, you know, we know how to fake it. You know, but have you ever had a moment? I'm going to tell you, I've had my moments. And David, he was having a moment. He said, I would have fainted. Yeah. I'm anointed by God. See, don't get it twisted. You can be anointed and still have a moment. Oh, can I talk to the real people? You can be anointed and still have a moment. You can be anointed and get out of character. You can be walking right there with Jesus and find yourself out of character if you get frustrated and you stop believing what God said. Peter was rocking right there with Jesus. I mean, you can't get any closer than that. He was walking right there. And when the tire hit the road and the pressure was on in his life. See, pressure sometimes will make us do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do. Maybe that's why God keeps us in the in-between. To get all of that that's down there to come out of you. And pressure will bring the impurities to the top of the surface. Because if cussing is down there, he'll bring it up to the top. Come on, somebody. If hatred is down there, he'll bring it up to the top. If unforgiveness is in there, he'll bring it up to the top. That's Peter. Peter's walking with Jesus. And Peter cusses. I don't know him. Peter, you cuss and you lie. We didn't know that was in Peter until pressure came. Maybe that's why we're still between revelation and manifestation. Because God knows there is something on the inside that he's got to get out. Because if he manifests the revelation while you still got that stuff on the inside, you are going to prematurely have to give that blessing back up. You're not going to be able to handle it. And I said on Friday, you'll end up getting in the room, but you won't be able to stay in the room. Because my gift makes room for me, but my character keeps me in. And everybody wants the blessing.
And you want to hurry this thing up and say, God, I'm tired of being between revelation and manifestation. And God said, no. I cannot give you the keys to the car because you ain't even passed your driving test yet. But God, I already know how to drive. If you know how to drive, then pass the test. Well, God, if they stop talking about me, I won't keep cussing at them. But as long as they stop talking about me, I'm going to keep cussing. Well, God said, no. That's not what you're supposed to do. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate. But God, that's hard to do. You're right, because you got to do that in the spirit. And see, as long as you are in the flesh, you can't walk according to my word, which is spirit. Oh, am I talking to anybody now? So he has a moment, and he said, I had fainted unless I had believed. Here we go. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. What does he say? He says, I had a moment, but I came back to myself and I start believing what God said. And see, if you're going to see the manifestations, you're going to have to believe what God says. Can I tell you? As I quoted in Psalms 119:89, his word is already settled in the heavens. You got to believe that. You got to believe why you in the midst of revelation and manifestation that word and that promise has not changed over your life. Don't let the devil trick you into giving up and letting go of your faith in God's word. If God told you when you were on the mountain that he's going to increase you, it doesn't change because you're in the valley. God is not weaker when you get in the valley. The same sovereign God that talks to you on the mountain is the same sovereign God that keeps you in the valley. In fact, I know his sovereignty more when I'm in a down place than I ever know when I'm in an up place. Because truth be told, I don't really need him that much when I'm on the mountain. But I want to know how powerful you are when I'm down in the valley and I feel like I'm going to sink. But you don't let me sink because you keep me. And I find out he's able to keep me from falling. Woo, Jesus. And when everything around me looks like I'm in quicksand, God said, you're going down, but you're not going to drown because I got my hand under you. I got to believe this. I've got to believe this. What did he say? So shall my word be that what? It won't return unto me what? It's not going to return unto me void. You got to believe what God said. The promise that he made to you, that word cannot return unto him void. Look at somebody and say, the word works. The word works. Can I tell you something? The Bible says in Philippians around chapter 2, he says, let me read that for you. I want you to see that right quick. I was going to quote it, but let me show it to you right quick. Go to Philippians chapter 2. I'll give you a little heads up. Let this mind be in you. Which was what? Who being in the form of God? I want you to get there. I can quote it, but I want you to get there too. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became what? Unto death. Okay? Wherefore what? Highly exalted him and given him what? Which is above every name. So he's saying, this God that we serve has a name that is above every name. Okay, now, he's giving you a word, though. Now, I want you to see something. Now, go to, what is that? Go to Psalms 138 and 2. Because I want you to see it for yourself. Now, in Philippians 2, he says, I have given him a name which is above every name. Okay. But then he goes and tells us in Psalms 138 and 2 that I have what? Magnified my. No, no, no. magnified my above my name. Oh, God, you got to come with me now. Now, back in Philippians, he's saying what? He says, my name has been highly exalted, okay? And my name is above every name. But then he says, in Psalms, oh, you getting it? In Psalms 138 and 2, he says, I have magnified, in other words, I have exalted my word above my name. So if you got a word from God, God said, my word has even been exalted above my name. Okay. Now here's the ramifications of that. If your word is no good, your name is no good. Because a man's word is always his bond. And I know you by your word. If your word's no good, your name's no good. Come on, somebody. So God said, I want you to know my name is good. Why? Because my word is good. And I have magnified my word above my name. If I say it, I'm going to do it. If I spoke it, I'm going to make it. Somebody going to get this in a minute. So even though I'm living between revelation and manifestation, if I got a word from God, I know his word is good. It's money in the bank. He's going to do it. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to do it. Yeah, don't give up. Don't give up. High five about three people and say, don't give up now. Don't give up now. You got a word. You got a word. Don't give up now. I got a word from the Lord. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the God. Of the Lord. Yeah. You know, I believe what he said. I believe in God. I believe in his word. If God has spoken, he's got to make it good. David says, I believe this. I believe what he said. And then he goes on to say, in that next verse, verse 14. He says this, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Here's what I want to tell you in that second point. You must learn to wait with expectation. Because he goes on to say, wait on the Lord. Notice what he said. He doesn't just say wait, but he says wait on the Lord. Because just waiting, it's not going to do it for me. But if I'm waiting on the Lord, that's different because I know the Lord is going to come through for me. And that's why you've got to learn how to wait with expectation. Because let me break this down. Waiting is the greatest barometer to determine if we truly trust God. Yeah. Because if you really trust God, then you're going to be willing to wait on God with an expectation. But if you don't really trust him, waiting is going to be very challenging. But the barometer that you really trust him is that I'm willing to wait on him. And I'm just not waiting to wait. I'm waiting with an expectation that what God says, he's able to bring to pass. Philippians 1 and 6 says, he that has begun a good work in me will complete it. Whatever God starts, he always finishes. Not one time can you ever see when God started a work that he didn't finish a work. When God spoke some, he didn't bring it to pass. So if you got a word, you've got to know God's going to fulfill it. So what do? I learn how to wait with expectation. I believe whatever God has said, it's going to happen. There's a few meanings for the word wait in the Hebrew. And one of them is this. Wait means to stay in place with an expectancy that something is going to happen. I'm going right back to being in between season when you're between revelation and manifestation. Because what the enemy will do, come here, Deke. I want you to walk down there. Keep walking. Now turn and face me. You stay right there. Okay? Come here, bro. I want you to go over there. By that pole. And then you turn around and face me. Right there. Right there. Okay. That's revelation. That's manifestation. I'm smack right here. And the sister just said that's a lot of in between. And that's how some of you feel right now. See, help me preach this. Yeah, yeah. See, that's how some of us feel now. That's what, you know. I got revelation, manifestation. Revelation, manifestation. Now, this is what God has spoken. This is the word. This is the promise. But manifestation is all the way down there. And then what God does, he drops me right in the middle and said, wait. And I'm supposed to wait with expectation. Now you get it why David said I had fainted. Because revelation didn't look like it was lining up with manifestation. Because I had a word and it tells me, wait, says, stay in place. Maintain. But the devil and the hellhounds are taking me all the way over here. But I'm supposed to stay right there. But when my faith starts dwindling, I find myself over here in doubt, in the land of doubt. And God says, I want you to wait. That's why David said, I had to learn something. Wait on the Lord. But I'm all the way over here. But when my faith kicks in and I recover, I find myself back over here. And this is where God wants you to stay. He wants you to stay smack between revelation and manifestation. And he doesn't want you to allow anything to take you out of position. Somebody say, wait. Now, Pastor, that's easier said than done. Because I can wait in church. But when I go home, waiting is a whole nother challenge. When I go on my job, waiting is a whole nother challenge. When I'm dealing with the life and life is coming at me, Pastor, waiting is a whole nother challenge. I'm glad you said that. Because the other part of wait, it means to tie yourself to something or to bind yourself to something. So, why I can't wait and stay in position on my own, but if I tie myself to something that's greater than me, I can stay in my right place. So what do? I come and tie myself to revelation. And revelation will never let me go. So even though I want to get out, I tied myself to revelation. Devil, you can't have it. But I'm tired of waiting. I want to touch it, but I'm tired of revelation. And when the set time comes, revelation doesn't let me go anywhere but to manifestation. And he'll walk me right to manifestation. And as long as I stay between revelation and manifestation, I'm going to touch. And I'm going to see what God says. Somebody need to give him some praise. In other words, you cannot do this on your own. That's why the enemy wants you to give up. Because he doesn't want you to see that manifestations is coming your way. And David finally said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. What does he say? Wait on the Lord. And be of good courage. Final point I want to give you. Stand and don't waver. Where you get that from, Pastor? Well, if you look at verse 14 when he says, be of good courage, that phrase literally means stand firm and strong. It means just stand firm and strong. Well, Pastor, how can I stand firm and strong when all of the hellhounds are on my trail? When the enemy is rushing in like a flood, you know how you stand? You stand on the word. You stand on the word. That's why I keep telling you people, for you people that think you're going to make it in this last dispensation, you ain't going to make it without no word. You can't be shallow in this time. There's too much being thrown at you. The culture is changing. Perversion is on every side. You got to have some word to stand on. So that when God makes a promise, regardless of what you see and what they say on CNN or MSNBC, it doesn't matter, a Fox or wherever it's at, you got to keep trusting that whatever God says, He's going to bring it to pass. Yeah. So when they're talking about gloom and doom, you've got to be able to say, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. But you don't know, there's a virus out here and it looks like it's going to kill everybody. My God is my healer. Come on. Healing is the children's bread. And by His stripes, I am healed. You got to begin to speak the word of the Lord. How are you going to stand firm? I'm going to know what the word of the Lord said. And I'm going to declare the word of the Lord. Every man will be a liar, but the word will be true. It will stand. Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my what? But my word shall stand. The word of God is quick and sharper, come on, somebody help me preach. And sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in two. God, show me a devil that the word can't handle. Show me a problem that the word can't handle. Show me a situation that the word can't handle. Our God, God's got a word. And if I stay tied to the word, I'm going to make it. So David said, be of good courage. Stand on the word, and having done all to stand, I dare you to stand up and take your position. Let the devil know I'm standing. I'm not going to be moved. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. They all stumble and fail. So a host shall encamp against me. My heart shall not fear. The war shall rise. You got to learn how to stand. Now, some of y'all are standing just upright. Now, upright is okay if you ain't in a battle. But when you're in a battle, you got to take a battle stand. Kind of like if you're on the football field. Try. Yeah, come on in here. That's right, bro. Come on, you come on in here if you want to. Shatando Bosha. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on, try it if you want to. Where is Donnell? Is he around? Come here, son. I need you quick. I want you to run. Put your football mind up right now. Oh, shut up, don't boast, child. Because you got to get ready. Oh, God. See, there's a three-point stand. And then, isn't it a four-point stand, too? Okay, now, give me the three-point stand. Shatana, I don't think you want to mess with that. See. It means to stand firm. Now, if it's really tight in the goal line, and they trying to come across your line to get a touchdown, you get what you call the four-point stand. Give me the four-point stand. Oh, yeah. Now. That stand, it's on now. Devil, it's on now. You can get up. It's on now. Stay right there. All I'm telling you is you got to get in position. And say, I'm going to stand firm now, devil. I don't like where I'm at, but though he slay me, I got to keep trusting him. I'm going to stay between revelation and manifestation. You don't have to feel like it. You don't have to like it. You just got to know all things are going to work out together for your good. And if God's got you between that and you feel like you're being squeezed, God is squeezing you for a purpose. And you got to stay tied. So he says, finally, be of good courage. Stand firm on the word. Can I get anybody to just? Can somebody get in their stance? Come on, somebody get it. Come on, y'all can't be pretty today. Come on, sisters. Come on. Yeah, you got to beat that devil. Let him know. You know, don't got to walk with me, but just get in your stance. And this ain't no cute stance. This is a stance to say, devil, you come in here if you want to. But I got a word from the Lord. Yeah, 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 yeah. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even my faith. Devil, you got to back up. Great is he that's in me. Then he, oh God, when you get it on the inside, you'll take your position. And David concludes with this thing, sir. David concludes with this. I said, wait on the Lord. I said, wait. In other words, I'm going to reinforce that again. I said, wait. Like your mother when she says, you asked and said, can I go outside? She says, no. And then 5 minutes later, you asked again, can I go out? I said, in other words, what I said the first time ain't changed. Oh, God, somebody going to get some revelation today. In other words, the promise that I made to you 5 years ago, 17 years ago, New Life Christian Center, I want you to keep on waiting. What I said shall come to pass. Let me finish this up by saying this. David would have never walked in his kingship if he didn't learn how to wait, if he would have given up. But when you keep reading the Old Testament, you will find out that King Saul was killed in battle, and David ultimately took the throne to be the king over Israel. He would have never walked in that had he not learned how to wait on the Lord. If he would have given up, he would have aborted his divine purpose and destiny. And all God is, why he's encouraging the church? Because he does not want us to abort our divine purpose and destiny. I don't care how hellish it gets out there. It doesn't change what God has said. God is going to be glorified. 17 years we waited to just purchase this plaza. And I shared with the church on Friday. There were 6 acquisitions attempts before we purchased. And I'm going to tell you the 6 of them, I would say 5 of them I shouldn't have done. Because if we got a word from the Lord while we're trying to move, you know why? Because your resolve, your faith was dwindling. And we were looking more at the natural than the spirit. And although it looked pleasing, it looked like God, it wasn't God. Because if it was God, people wouldn't have died. You remember that one we went to on Rock Bridge Road? We signed it, and the president of the board died? I mean, I got story after story. We went down to Beltsville. Remember that? We were going to get that warehouse space. Oh, Gary, you was with us. You remember that? And it looked good. And what? When the time came to sign the lease, the real estate agent said, well, the owner doesn't want a church in there. What? We right back at the plaza. Every time we tried to leave, God wouldn't let us leave. Even when the man, another church, was trying to buy this plaza, or shall I say, rent this space from under us, God touched the pastor and told him to come here to meet with me. I met with him and he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sign it. Shut everything down. So why am I saying that? When God has a word, don't worry about what it looks like. I can testify now. I'm being honest. I'm testifying as a pastor. Don't be afraid. You stand your ground. That's why we lost these 3 tenants. Do we feel the pressure? Yeah. But I'm not moved now, because if God did that, he's got to sustain us here. Come on, somebody. But it's no way I could be okay in terms of not feeling real intense pressure if I hadn't gone through that first. And I'm just encouraging you, church. Don't give up. You're on the brink of manifestation. You're right there. You are right there. And you'll kick yourself. You give up and then you say, I could have had that. I should have been here. I should have been further along by now. Now, here's what happened. Whenever God gives his word, it doesn't go back.
what happens, you go back. It's like until you pass the class, that's it, D. You got to keep taking it. He doesn't advance you. So all you're doing is setting yourself back until you finally learn that I got to trust God. And that's why David encourages us. And he said, finally, wait on the Lord. Look at your neighbor and just say, just wait on the Lord. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to work it out. That's not for you to do. God's got the details. You just got to wait on the Lord. You got to wait on the Lord. Everybody standing.